I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. And it's actually Gail Moskowitz. But the thing about having a name like Moskowitz and having grown up with the last name of Shukov, I am so used to having people mispronounce my name that it's sort of fun and just perfectly okay. So hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. The topic of today's show is mentoring. Mentoring works. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. This week, we will highlight mentoring. The number at which to reach us is 649-9737, 649-9737. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. It's a lot of W's, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. Also, if you get onto WRIR's website and click my show, you can get a link right to my website, and that's maybe an easier way of doing it. I am happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters URMentalHealthMatters, all one word, at gmail.com. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, and you know what? Send me some suggestions for a future show. My guest today is going to be Claudia Vigler. Claudia is a trainer for something called the Virginia Mentoring Partnership. She also facilitates a mentoring program through the Richmond Jewish Community, the Richmond Jewish, oh my God, I don't know what that C stands for, at Swansboro Elementary School. Oh, the Richmond Jewish Council on Literacy at Swansboro Elementary School, which is an unbelievably successful program of mentors that come to Swansboro Elementary School and sit with these children on an ongoing basis, create relationship with them, teach them, mentor them, help them, teach them to read. It is really a fabulous organization. So let me just say a little bit about mentoring. What does it mean? Well, I'm going to talk for one moment about mentoring in the context of mental health. So one of the things we know about the world is that if you grow up in a family that has economic and emotional stability, even if you're not rich as can be, or even if there's a few bumps in your road, divorce or remarriage, but basically, calm, clear, and consistent family, we know that those children are so much more apt to learn the skills they need to learn to function on an ongoing basis in their lifetime. One of the things that children learn when they grow up in a family that's clear and calm and consistent and stable is they learn resilience. The ability to take each problem as they come up and manage the problem and get through it and get back to the realities of their life, which aren't really problem-focused. For instance, if you go to school in the morning on a full stomach, dressed in clothes that are warm enough or cool enough for you, get sent off to school by a loving family, you know you're coming home from school to a loving family, whatever might happen that day, is going to be viewed in the context of having the skills to manage your life. What we also know is that children who do not grow up in a clear, calm, consistent, and stable family, they live their life in the center of crisis. That crisis keeps them from managing the little problems that come up. It also keeps them from being present in their own lives. So, for instance, when we're hurt emotionally or physically, when we're scared, and scared as in somebody might harm us physically, or scared because we don't really know how to manage our own lives and there aren't appropriate adults there to help us, what we might do is we shut down, screen out, and we don't show up for our own life to live in the present in a conscious, reality-based way. Children have a way of moving into fantasy, going into a shock mode where they literally are not available to their own life. They do something called detachment. They disassociate. And they not only aren't present at that moment to learn whatever skills they need to learn, but they're also not present to deal with the emotional ramifications of what's going on in their lives, which is way bigger than a child who grows up in a stable environment. So these children then, because they don't have resilience, are so much more apt to become depressed, to live in a core of anxiety, to break the law, to have eating problems, because they don't have good eating habits, so they go from starvation to overeating. And they are so much less apt to be mentally healthy as adults because they didn't grow up with the stability that they needed. So how do we begin as a community, as a society, to manage this? It's a big problem because for those of us who have always lived with enough money, enough safety in our lives, it's hard for us to imagine that right here in the United States of America, there is a whole cadre of children that go to school hungry, go to school scared, go to school without the emotional resources that they need to learn how to learn or to learn how to manage the problems that come up in their life. So these children then cluster in a certain area. They live in a certain area together. And these children often are then going to school in that area. And now we have a whole school system where there are a lot of children all in this depressed, disassociated, shut down place where they don't have resilience and they're not able to manage the daily chores of life. And these children grow up to have exponentially more mental health problems. They're more apt then to get pregnant at a young age, and they're more apt to recapitulate the very problems in which they grew up, and then we have a whole new crop, so to speak, a whole new generation of children dealing with the same problems. And this is why this mentor program has come to be. Because these children need a consistent adult member of their life that knows who they are, what they're doing, when they're doing it, and can clearly articulate that they care about that child, that they can be available to that child on an ongoing basis. This is not an hour every other month volunteer job. This is an ongoing relationship that the mentor creates with the an ongoing relationship with the mentor. My guest today, Claudia Bigler, is going to talk to you about these mentor programs and the amazing thing that these mentors do for these children. And if we think about it in a big picture, these are the exact kinds of programs that will help these children to grow up to be mentally healthy adults. So we're going to take a break, and in just 2 minutes, we'll be back to speak to Claudia Bigler on Mental Health Matters, WRIR 97.3 FM. So, Claudia, welcome to Mental Health Matters.
Thank you, Gail.
I have given this whole explanation of what mentorship is, of why we need mentors, but I haven't spoken so much about what the mentors do. So I would like you to tell me what the Virginia Mentorship Partner, the Virginia Mentoring Partnership is.
Virginia Mentoring Partnership is a statewide organization, nonprofit, and we service mentor programs all over the state of Virginia, training people to get into the school systems to work with our kids.
That's amazing. Who funds this?
It's fun. You know, we're a nonprofit, so we're always looking for ways to have money. We get grant money. And we are working solidly on trying to do some fundraising.
So I know that you do that you're a trainer for the Virginia Mentoring Partnership, and I also know that you facilitate a specific mentoring program through the Richmond Jewish Coalition on Literacy, and you do that at Swansboro Elementary School. So tell me what that is.
Okay. The Richmond Jewish Coalition for Literacy is about 12 years old. We modeled it after the National Jewish Coalition for Literacy. And we picked Swansboro as a model school about 12 years ago. And we have successfully had about 40 mentors a year that come not just from the Jewish community, from all faiths. And we come together under one roof to work with our kids in the Richmond Public Schools.
That's amazing. It really is. So tell me, why mentoring?
Why? Gosh, that's such a great question, Gail, because it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. If you love children, if you want to make a difference, and you've always, you're a retired person now, and you say, what am I going to do with myself? I've always loved to work with kids. We've got great programs all over the state, and particularly through the Richmond Public Schools. We're in 25 Richmond Public Schools.
Oh, my God. You know what? I didn't realize that.
Yes, yes.
So tell me what the mentors do.
What we do is, first, if you have a passion, and you have a passion to work with kids, these kids love you. They want you. Every child at our schools wants you to be a mentor. So it doesn't require any teaching certificate. You can just show that you love to work with kids and you're going to make a difference. What does it require? An hour a week.
And what do these women, but they're not all women.
No.
What do the mentors do? They walk through the door. What do they do?
Okay. We do an orientation for all new mentors through the Virginia Mentoring Partnership. So before you walk through that door, you have been oriented through us on how the schools run, how to work with a child, questions that may come up that you don't know how to work, you're not sure how to solve on your own. And so we have a 3-hour training through the Virginia Mentoring Partnership first.
Oh, that's really good.
Okay. Then once you walk through the school, we give you an orientation to the school. Some of the schools have communities and schools, employees that also help facilitate the program. It just depends on per school. In our school, we're very fortunate that we have a communities and schools person who helps us connect one-to-one training.
So if you are a mentor in that school, do you literally spend an hour with your mentee?
You
Is that what you call it?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
With your mentee, does that mentor spend a specific hour with an identified child?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I often call them my children, so you'll have to bear with me. But yes, that is that 1 hour that you give a child, statistics actually prove that we give more in that 1 hour of one-on-one attention to that child than the teacher can give in a week.
That's amazing. And what do you do with the child?
Well, there's so many things that you can. Oftentimes, we do a bag of tricks through the Virginia Mentoring Partnership, so you won't leave with, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this child.
Right.
We will give you ideas, aside from the fact that teachers are so happy to have you.
So you might help them with their homework
or
read with them.
Yes.
They might even talk to you about the problems they're having at home.
Yes.
You'd play games,
yes.
Chess,
everything,
checkers.
Oftentimes they really like to work with computers because these children may not have a computer at home.
Wow.
And the computers at school are limited. So if we bring in a computer, or I often like to tell the people that I train, bring in something that has a passion for you. So if you're a photographer, bring in your camera. Maybe that child will get turned on to photography because of you.
That is fantastic. So what benefits have you seen these mentors bring these children?
Wow. Well, as a group, we bring together all kinds of programming at Swansboro Elementary. For example, this year we did, it's our fifth or sixth year of doing a book tasting, which is sort of an oxymoron. What it means is the librarian picks 14 books that have something to do with food, and we as mentors brought in the food to go with the book. So it was a school-wide program for 360 students, and if they read the book, they get to, so to speak, taste the food. So we had a book on pizza, and guess what? We brought, 20 boxes of pizza, and every child that read that book got to taste pizza. We also did things like sushi, because we did a book called Sushi Sushi, and these kids had never seen sushi, and gosh, they loved it. So it's a literacy, we're based as a literacy program, and so we like to bring in books and bring in speakers and bring in programming that has to do with reading.
And do
reading.
These children at the end of the day learn better reading skills from you?
I have to hope that everything we're doing is empowering them to be better readers, better people. We're their role models.
Do you ever meet their parents?
I haven't been as fortunate to be able to meet my mentees' parents as much as other people have. Don't forget, my program at Swansboro is a school-based program. So we do it during the school day. Other mentoring programs facilitate people that are able to take their children outside that program and go to baseball games and go to movies. Mm. But we are an in-school program. We tell our mentees at Swansboro if they want to take their children outside that program to please join Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
I did not realize that you only saw these kids in school, and that there was another program that did a different kind of a thing. So there's really a little bit for everybody. Perhaps
yes.
If there was an adult who really enjoyed physical exercise, or they could do something different, do a different kind of,
right.
of a position.
Because there's so many mentoring programs all over the city and state, you get to pick what fits best for you. But mm-hmm. even at our school, if you want to do something physical, you can take the child
can do
into
it right
the
there.
Gym.
Right there.
So we have lots of people being creative on finding their own skills and things that their child might want to do with them.
Kids like it?
Oh my gosh, they beg me. Every week I walk into the school, and they know me. I've been there so many years. Mrs. Beekler, did you find me a mentor today? Can I come with you, Mrs. Beekler?
They love the attention,
every child,
the connection.
Yes, and that's my goal. Want every child that needs one to have a mentor.
Can you give me an example of maybe one of the children's lives that you have touched?
Well, right now I'm working with six children in a reading group. We call it Reader's Cafe. I think that I've touched them in that we're really talking about how to treat each other and how to be respectful for each other. And the things that we've come up with in this group have been mind-boggling. And so I have to think that they're going to walk away someday and maybe remember, they may not remember my name,
mm-hmm.
but they may remember, do you remember when we talked about treating each other with kindness and respect? I mean, those are things that I hope that will be long-lasting. Can we measure success with an extra A on their report card? I'm not certain. But I do think lifelong changes can be made just by building a relationship.
What has it done for you? What does it do for the mentors?
I'll speak to it on a personal level. It's by far the best thing I've ever done in my life. I wake up every day feeling like I've made a difference and they have changed my life. So I know lots of people feel that way too. It's a passion that we know that we can help these kids.
And do you have an ongoing relationship with any of the children?
I'm e-mentoring a child that's now in middle school. Middle school is a little tougher to try to connect to because they've got seven teachers and seven classes. But there are many programs that have a middle school group that do come in and work with the kids. As a matter of fact, I worked with a group yesterday, and I'll promote them. They're called AMP. AMP, and then they're at Henderson Middle School, and they come in once a week with a designated time to work with those students who need some extra attention. And it's an ongoing program that blew me away yesterday when I went to see it.
That's so important. Middle school is such a tough time in a child's life. Do you see the kids move from a place of being fascinated by the world into a more cynical time?
You know, being with elementary school students mainly, you don't really see that quite yet. I'm certain that the middle school and the high schools, you would, and that's where obviously it's even more important that we're there.
It's so important.
To help
that you're
guide
there.
Them through that.
Yes,
yeah.
It's so important that the children have a consistent person in their life that they know they can rely on, even if it's just to show up to do what they said they were going to do.
Right.
I'm
going to
show up and read with you today.
Right.
And those children will know that grown-up is going to do exactly what he or she said.
I actually got caught once with a kindergarten child that I was teaching to tell time. And I bought them a calendar and I told them when I was going to be coming in. And I was a little late. And when I walked in the classroom, this little child said, you were supposed to be here at 1200, and you're here at 1210. I was 10 minutes late, but I got called on it.
You know, I got to tell you, I always wonder why we actually taught our kids to talk and tell time. It's just been nothing but a problem ever since. How much time does it take? Just that hour a week, then?
It's that hour a week. I mean, it's very little prep time or a lot of prep time, your choice.
And how does somebody find out about becoming a mentor?
Please call the Virginia Mentoring Partnership, and I have a number right here for you to call them. And
I will put that on my website so that anybody who wants that number can certainly get it. And as you know, you can get to my website by getting onto WRIR's website, www.rir.org, and clicking on my program, and the information will be on my website so that you can find out how you can become a mentor. Can someone start their own mentoring program?
Absolutely.
How do they go about it?
Virginia Mentoring Partnership, this is what we do every day. We work with people that see a need in the community to start mentor programs, and we do it all over the state. And I'm actually working with a cousin of mine in Maryland that was so taken with what we're doing here in Richmond that she wants to bring it to the Potomac area and start her own, so we will help her and guide her through that.
It's fascinating. And for those of you who are listening to us today on Mental Health Matters, you have to know that Claudia has an infectious enthusiasm for this program. And wherever she goes, she gathers up people who are interested in doing this. So if you go to a party with her, she leaves. She's got six names and six more people showing up to do this. It's really true.
Well, it's a little dangerous to have lunch with me, but, you know, I thank everyone who has taken on the lead and helping to work with our kids.
And I thank you for being here today. I thank you all for listening to Mental Health Matters. Today we spoke about mentoring through the Virginia The Virginia Mentoring Partnership. And all you need to do is get onto my website, and all the information that you'll need to find out about mentoring will be there. Thank you very much for listening to Mental Health Matters. Thank you for coming today,
Thank
Claudia.
You.
And tune in next week, 1 o'clock on Thursday.
Be happy. In Every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry.